Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
The young people in our nation, this generation, I don't know, the X generation, the Y generation, whatever you want to call them, I believe a revival is going to happen with the young people. I call it like Azusa 2.0 because Azusa Street, if you know about the history of it, was young people who stood up for God. I mean, miracles were happening, powerful things were happening, and one proof positive of that is Christian Crawford. Christian Crawford was at a high school graduation. He was up at the podium, and there was an incident in the stands, and he took charge as a young Christian and began to speak and pray, and his prayer has resounded across the nation. As a matter of fact, let's watch Chris Crawford now.
Everybody, can I have your attention real quick? We don't know what's going on, but we will pray. We know that prayer is power and that God is able. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We pray right now that whatever is going on, that you would fix it. God, we pray that you will heal it, God. We pray that you will redeem it, God. We pray that you will deliver it, God, because we know that you are a God who knows how to make a way. And in the name of Jesus, we declare and decree in the name of Jesus that whatever is going on shall be fixed. Because you are a God who is a fixer. You are a God who is a healer. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shiloh. Fix it, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's an amazing thing to watch a young man like Chris Crawford take this stand, and I just really believe that it's just proof positive that this generation is going to rise up with authority and begin to speak. As a matter of fact, they interviewed him on CBN. Let's take a look at the interview now.
A recent high school graduate in Alabama is in the spotlight after an impromptu graduation ceremony prayer. While a medical emergency was taking place in the crowd, Christian Crawford went up to the podium and led the crowd in prayer. Crawford joins us now via Skype. Christian, thanks for being with us.
No problem. Thank you.
What went through your mind when people started calling for a medic and then you were asked to pray?
There was really nothing going through my mind at the moment. When Ms. Shannon Petty, the librarian at Clay Chalfville, asked me to pray, I was a little hesitant at first because I didn't know what I was going to pray about. But as I walked up to the podium, I said, "Lord, let your will be done," and began to open up my mouth, and God began to speak to me and speak through me.
Do you remember what you said?
Yes, ma'am. I remember what I said. I said that God is able. I said that God is a redeemer. I said that God is a deliverer. I said that God can make a way. And I said, "Fix it, Jesus. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom." Said all those things.
That's a beautiful prayer. Do you know what happened to the person who had that emergency during the ceremony?
I heard that as she was leaving, it seemed like everything was fine. It seemed like everything was okay. And my granddad, who was right beside the incident, he said she feels like she wanted to speak or say something, but she couldn't.
As you know, that prayer has since gone viral. What do you hope comes from it reaching so many people?
Well, I've heard, and this is many testimonies coming from different people, saying that their faith has been restored because of the prayer. Some people have people that are in hospitals that have heard the prayer, and they have been inspired because of the prayer, and their faith has been restored, and healing is taking place even right now. Many people have been motivated and have hope for my generation because of the prayer, and it's just been inspiring and motivating a lot of people in the world and in the country.
Christian Crawford, thanks for your time and best wishes for you and your future.
That's so exciting. Christian Crawford just stood up and just took authority as a young believer in the Lord to begin to speak, and now that's kind of resounding around the world. I want to encourage you, if you're a young person, that if you go back and look at history, if you look at, you know, what they call Azusa Street, it was a street that had a particular building on it that William Seymour, a man that was hungry for a move of God, just desired to see the Lord move. Prior to that particular building, he was just renting a room in a house with a couple of ladies that actually had other rooms or house that was there. And he just cried out to God. He went into his room and began to cry out and just saying, you know, "God, I want revival." And this is like 1906, something around there. And in that, young people began to come to the Lord. People just began to come. And God began to perform miracles through young people, through 16-year-olds, through 17-year-olds. and just young children and some of the creative miracles. And we have more details for you on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. You got to just hear some more details. But God did creative miracles. There was people that didn't have limbs, you know, a missing finger or missing arm. Well, God just grew body parts back, and that people had, you know, at that time you didn't have a lot of doctors or money to be able to see a doctor, and people had problems with teeth and issues, and young people stuck their fingers in some people's mouth and teeth grew back. I mean, that's how powerful this move was. It shook, in 1906, it shook the whole world, and that's without texting, email, telephones. I mean, they didn't have all that, but the power of God. And I just think Christian Crawford, to me, just kind of sets that spark on fire, knowing that Azusa 2.0 is about to come to the world, come to America, and I'm excited about it.
John, it makes me think about when you see Christian Crawford.
Encouraging.
Yes, encouraging, authority.
Yes.
That there is no such thing as a baby Holy Spirit or a teenage Holy Spirit or an 80-year Holy Spirit. Right. You know, there's just one Holy Spirit. And several dreams, but one was the Lord, how the Lord showed you about what's to come.
Talk to us about that. I had this dream, vision of the night. Lord spoke to me about this young girl who wound up taking on a stage. She was on a stage, and she opened up her Bible.
She was taking on a stage.
Well, she took the stage. She was.
Where did she take it to?
You know, well, just be with me, okay?
She went to the stage.
She was on the stage.
Oh, she was on the stage. Got it.
Okay.
I was just trying to figure out where she took it.
It's a dream.
To.
Just stay with me.
Know.
Stay
okay.
with me.
I'm with you.
So she opens up her Bible and she begins to share just the gospel, really simple type message, truth. And I'm watching this in the dream and seeing that there's a crowd there, but it looks like it was an auditorium, but I couldn't see because it was quite dark, the depth of the crowd. And so as I'm still watching and looking, she closes up her Bible, which is a small, you know, short type of a message.
How old is she?
Maybe 15, 16 years old, okay. In her teens. And then she begins.
In her teens?
Teens. Okay. Yes, teens. Okay. And she starts to pray for people. And she starts to lay hands on a couple of them. And as I'm.
At 15 years
old. At 15 years old.
Powerful. After talking about the word of God.
Right. And
wow.
And I'm like, oh, wow, that's
cute.
Sounds
like Christian Crawford, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's not over yet. Because in the dream, I'm thinking, you know, oh, that's cute. Wow.
Right.
She's laying hands on a couple folks. And as I'm watching, by the time she gets the sixth person. The person who's in the front now falls backwards and like a domino.
Why would they fall?
Fell back under the power of God.
Oh, so she's praying for folks. This 15-year-old girl.
15-year-old girl lays hands on.
And the presence of God just begins to manifest or what?
The power of God hit the person, I guess, on the person.
She took the stage and it hit someone. It's like, so you're talking
about. You're messing up this dream.
Well, you know, our viewers might not understand what you're talking about. I want to make sure that.
I understand.
When God shows up, it overtakes us physically.
I mean, it was just.
It's like
so
you lose
powerful.
Your strength.
Yeah. Well,
your knees get weak.
This person didn't lose strength. This person just fell straight back. The person wasn't hurt or anything.
Yes.
But it was just that you could tell it was an overwhelming presence, power of God.
When I think about this, I think about, you know, when you read the word of God you know, the Lord showed up with John, you know, and he's writing the book of Revelation and he falls to the ground.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we just say he consciously decided he wanted to just bow the knee or go down, but we never assumed that God was so powerful, he just fell to the ground.
Listen,
you know,
every time you read the Bible, you'll see occurrences where people have encounters with angels,
right.
And immediately they fall to the ground, and almost every angel says, get up.
But in our logical sense, don't we say quite often that they consciously decided to be low, therefore they physically made a decision to send a nervous nerve ending thing that caused your knee to bend, your muscle to bend, versus you were overtaken by the presence
completely.
Of God. I mean, think about Isaiah, right?
Yeah.
We're thinking like he just went to the ground and said, oh, woe is me, versus like, bam.
Exactly.
The ground.
Exactly.
And we kind of know this from personal experience.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, yes,
that
we
will
do.
It just happened to me.
I will not fall down on the. I will not make a scene. That will not be a scene.
But
right
you know what was the most awesome thing that ever happened? It's just we're designed for the presence of God.
Yeah.
And it's probably because of our pride and because of our self
faults
or whatever. But just the glory and the power of God just starts to heal your bones and heal your mind and heal. It's just powerful. So that's what we're talking about.
Yes.
When you said she's praying for this 15-year-old girl is praying for folks.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the same thing. They're overwhelmed by the power of God.
Yeah, it was beautiful. But then as the first person kind of fell back, the, if you will, it was looking like a camera angle, and people started just falling like dominoes all the way back. And then I saw how big the auditorium actually was. It was filled with people. And then I happened to be standing behind two gentlemen who are actually commenting or sharing as if they were giving a broadcast on what I just saw. And they were talking to one another, and one of the men looked at the other and said, "This is just how it's going to be. They're just going to come and share a little bit, and the power of God's going to use them. You know, God's going to use them. The power of God's going to fall. This is how it's going to be." And the dream was over.
Wow.
That's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful.
You think about that, you know, religion is just heavy.
Yeah.
Religion is what put Jesus on the cross, right? Mm-hmm. People that were being religious and they thought this is what you need to do. And religion said, let's don't spend this 30 pieces of silver anywhere. Let's go buy a piece of land somewhere. It's like, that's religion.
Let's invest this.
And so, but the presence and the power of God and what you feel when you're hearing, you know, Christian Crawford, what people respond, it's not just, he's human, mm-hmm. but we're hearing the Spirit of God with confident boldness. He's just confident in what he's saying. Mm-hmm. He delivered it. He knew what he was saying. He could say it again without a script. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's who he was, it looks like. But then you see this dream. But I remember, you know, some of our experiences under the power of God. Mm. But also what I've discovered is religious people are scared of God. They're scared of the presence of God.
Yeah.
And the power of God. And the healing of God. I mean, I know. You would think the very God that people were talking about when he showed up on the streets and he said, "I am his son," that they would have embraced Jesus. Mm-hmm. But they actually began to plot and plan and try to snuff out Jesus.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't understand that God is with us. They couldn't understand that God now is present with us. And they said, it can't be God because we would have known everything about it. Mm-hmm. We know everything about it. And that's what religion says.
Yeah.
But the presence of God was walking through Chorazin, for example, the city, and they didn't even recognize it. Israel missed the time of their visitation, and they began to fight against the presence of God. I mean, the physical, tangible Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us presence. And they just missed him. And over again, and it's just a shocker, but you got to brace yourself. Do you want God or do you want man? You love God, you love man, but you want God.
Yeah.
And men who don't want God will say you have to want them and reject God and the fullness of God. And when you think about Paul, I mean, Paul said, you know, I know a man. You know what I'm saying? Mm. I know a man. And he's talking about, I know a man that went into the third heaven. That was him. Then he couldn't even talk about what he saw. It was so awesome.
Yeah. I was just having this conversation with someone earlier in the week, and I said, listen, you know, I've heard people say, believers say, that they're just bored in their Christian walk.
I could see why if it's religion.
Well, yeah.
Religious.
Well, my next statement was, the most fascinating person that's ever existed is God. Mm-hmm. They simply don't know God then in that way.
Right.
How could God, who's so glorious and wonderful and so just full of life and love, how could we possibly be bored with him unless we don't know him at all?
Or unless, like the Pharisees, you know, Jesus said to them, the religious leaders, he said, you go all the way across the sea to win a convert, to win somebody to your organization or whatever. You bring them over the seas, you put them with you, you put more on them that they can bear, a whole bunch of legalism stuff on them they can't bear, and then you don't even lift a finger to help them. And you make them twice as much a son as hell as you are. And so the whole thing was, God wasn't in that.
Mm-mm.
He wasn't in that religious exercise. There was nobody being converted to anything. He said that you won't even let them get into the kingdom. You keep them from getting into the kingdom. But they were doing all this religious exercise.
Looked right.
I mean, I'm telling you, when it looks right and don't feel right, something's up. You know, because it's about your inward being. They could not understand how a prostitute could be washing the feet of Jesus with an alabaster box. They didn't understand she was right. She was so right that God was going to talk about her forever. But they missed the time of their visitation that God was with them. And, you know, I just want to encourage you. Hearing Christian Crawford, you know, with this authority and hearing it resound in the spirit of, in the hearts of men, that in America, that people are ready for this generation. They're ready to rise up. And sad to say, you know, it's the generation of a fatherlessness where, you know, I'm ready to be everything God's called me to be, but I feel displaced. I feel I need, there's something I need. And we think about this, that Jesus went 30 years. He went 30 years being accused of being born out of wedlock, being conceived out of wedlock, and just having to hear what Mary, his mother, was telling everybody. And you're like, yeah, right, for sure, for sure. I mean, think about it.
Yeah,
she says that she was, you know, had this moment and the presence of God came over her, and then something happened to her, and then she got pregnant, and you know that's Joseph's kid because you can count the months. One, two, three, Jesus. You know, that's no way that could be possibly happen. He should have divorced her. I mean, all these 30 years of being accused of being a bastard child, which is a fatherless child, is what they would say in the King James. Then all of a sudden, when he was being baptized by John, his father split the heavens open and confirmed everything he had said for 30 years. And he says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And once that affirmation came from the father, and once everybody totally were just, you know, realized they were totally off, everything that Mary said was true, that all of a sudden his ministry began. And there's some of you that you are, it's all in you. I mean, you could teach teachers what you know, but you still have not had that affirmation. You still hadn't had that release. But I just want to encourage you that God is an awesome father, and he can father. He's a father to the fatherless. And it's not wrong for you to desire that, but to look for it in the wrong places, to look for it in organization, or look for it in signs, wonders, and miracles, and your how big your building is. Like, we're tired of hearing about your new wing on your building.
Please,
we're tired about hearing how many people you got in your Sunday school class.
Yes.
We're tired of hearing about, you know, how big your car is and what kind of promotion you got. You need a father in your life. You need to know that God is your father and that he loves you. We need to go and win folks, not try to prove ourselves to people. We need to tell them about how good he is, and not to be scared of his presence. If you hadn't had a father, when a father's around, you're terrified. I mean, you're terrified because you're thinking like, okay, he's here. Maybe you have a fantasy he's going to take you fishing, but he tells you to sit down and turn the lights out, right? You know, it's like, pay the bills. Pay your bills, your lights won't go off.
Straighten up.
Yeah, straighten up. And so, but God getting close to us, it's not a bad thing. Everything that the enemy has tried to do since the Garden of Eden is try to separate you from the presence of God. God is wanting to get close to you. The issue with getting close to God is our sin. But God dealt with the sin issue on the cross. That's what brings us back into relation. When you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he loves you even though you have not even yet made him the Lord of your life. You could be, you know, cussing up a storm, doing horrific things and having no, you know, hard-hearted about it. You don't care a bit. You're just doing terrible things. God still loves you. Because he says, while you were yet a sinner, you know, I loved you, I died for you. I think about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler missed his time of visitation. I mean, God's presence was right there. I mean, right there. Think about it.
Yeah.
And he says, oh, you know, I've done this, I've done that, and I've done this. What else do I need to do to be saved?
Yeah.
And he says, for you, you go ahead and give everything you have away. He was a very rich young ruler. And come follow me. And he left God. He left the presence of God. He left Jesus. Think about it. Emmanuel, God with us. That was the ultimate. Jesus is physically, tangibly, spiritually. God is right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he walked away from the presence of God because he had many things. And he missed the greater thing. But it says, this is important, though. He says, but Jesus loved him when he walked away. And you think about it. What we need to know is that no matter what, all of our failures, all of our mistakes, no matter how what's going on, that God loves us as a father.
And the thing is, why miss the day of Jesus' visitation?
Right.
It's here. God loves you. He has a plan for your life. He gives us the great privilege of being in relationship with him. And often think about what we discuss many times in this program is that, I know you've had the opportunity, I've had the opportunity, and many of you have had the opportunity to be with people in their last hours, last moments of their life. And people only have two regrets when it's all about to end.
Just two.
Just two, really. It's amazing. Of all the things that you
not
could regret.
Not business deals, not all that.
Not all the things they could have done, the vacations, the houses, the trips, the gifts, and all those things. They only regret two things. One, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm getting ready to leave them. And second is that I wish I knew God because I'm getting ready to meet him. Right. And the day that we stand before right. God, the only thing that we're going to be able to bring before God is a life of worship. Or we're going to stand bare with him. We're not going to have any of the trappings that we right. have today.
Right.
You know, so we can begin this journey.
It's difficult. If you don't know he loves you, it's difficult. He wants relationship with you.
Yeah.
If you're thinking it's religious, it's you're trying to figure out how much penance do I need to do, what I need to do.
Rules. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion.
Yeah. And it's like, he wants to have a relationship with me now when I just came out of prostitution 5 minutes ago. He's going to forgive me now. And it's like, he loved you even while you were in prostitution. Yeah. It's just religious folks, John, who don't love you because of a particular sin that you're in, you know, that they just, that's just religion. But God loves you while you're yet a sinner. We'll talk more about this because I want to talk about, you know, how God has shown me that just those that are held captive by a religious spirit, they actually begin to persecute the presence and the power of God. And we need God like never before. We need his closeness to us. And this is what Moses said. What will differentiate us from anybody else in the world other than your presence? Talking about, you know, the presence of God, God showing up. You know, when Jesus was born, they called him Emmanuel, which means God with us, the presence of God. God walked with us. And when you saw the Son, you saw the Father. So now we get to understand what the presence of God is like. When you heard the Father say, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," we understand that he was the first Son that opened the door for other sons, which are daughters and sons. And okay, so that's exactly how God feels about us. But yet immediately, religious folks begin to protest Emmanuel, God, the presence of God.
Amazing how that works.
Yeah. It's like you have some I'm not going to say poor pastor. He's prayed for God to move for years. And then God just pours out his presence on his congregation, and God begins to move, and the power of God begins to happen where people get healed and delivered and set free. And next thing you know, you have some religious folks marching up and down the street going like, "This is sign," going like, "This is not Jesus." You know, it's like, that's exactly what they did to Jesus. I don't know why that happens, but he said with it, persecution,
this
happens. But I think about this. I remember one particular night vision, you know, the Lord had given me, or dream was in this, speaking to this group of folks. And it was like a church gathering. And I saw this, lady who had like a hump in her back, a real big bent over hump in her back, and she was coming forward. And you know, everybody was singing and, you know, everything you do when you're gathered together, everybody's having a great time. And she was coming forward, and she was walking towards me. My heart was just, you know, I was speaking. So my heart was just moved with compassion. I just felt like, oh my goodness, you know, I just wanted to go away, you know? And so it's a dream. So I went and put my hand on her back. And everybody was just all happy and stuff, you know, at that point. And then all of a sudden, when I put my hand on her back, and I was going to press this, it's
a dream.
So I was just going to press this hump out of her back, and kind of like pushing it into her back, and it's going away. Then all of a sudden, John, it was like 70%, if not more, people who were singing and praising God and all these different, they began to run like terrified of the power and the presence of God.
Because what happened? The hump went down?
Yeah, just the power of God.
Wow.
And it's such a shocker because, you know, I'm normally so naive and going like, haven't you been preaching about this Jesus? Don't you believe that, you know, and you find
healer,
out.
Healer, Jesus the healer.
Yeah, right. Savior. And, you know, and so, and there was another one. There was another particular jerk. And this is so important because I want to encourage you. And it's available for all of our partners. Don't forget. For any amount whatsoever, I mean, a dollar, I mean, any amount at all, you can partner with VFN TV, and we have all this available to you. And one thing we have available to you is called The Promise. It's a series that Jesus said this. He said, listen, before you do anything, the Father made a promise, and I want you to wait for it. And so we have that's totally there for you. It's right there for all of our partners. But in this other particular dream, there was a man that had his legs were gone from the knee down. He had no legs from the knee down, and he was in a wheelchair. And when I saw him, you know, I had compassion over him, and And all of a sudden, the presence of God began to just manifest. There was nothing happening, you know, in regards to that. But just the presence of God, just the awareness of the power of God, because he was saying.
That's so powerful. You're talking about compassion. You know, oftentimes, that's what happened in Jesus' ministry. He was moved with compassion. Compassion is two parts, feeling sorry and bad for what's happening, but also doing something about it.
Right.
And a lot of times, it's kind of key to seeing, you know, things happen in the supernatural. Because a lot of times people want to share a message or it's like, where's the compassion? Where's the love? Where's the sympathy? Where's the God in this? It's just a religious activity.
Right, right.
Anyone interpreting your dream, but
which is pretty naive when you think about it. I mean, you know, kind of like, you've been singing about this Jesus for 30 years. You've been reading, you've been telling everybody, I'm reading two chapters a day or whatever. And all of a sudden he shows up and you're not excited about him showing up. I mean, it's not like he dwells in you, but... But all of a sudden, he just comes and joins the church with his presence, and it's awesome, overwhelming, and powerful. But anyway, so as soon as the presence of God began, you could feel the presence of God, and that in this dream he got off of out of the wheelchair, and he has no legs except for the knees up. He does, but knees down he doesn't, and he runs off on his thighs, basically, right through his knee joints, as his feet, and he's just running off. Just the power of God.
Wow.
And so many people think that, hey, man, if we're in Jerusalem, and this is the place, the city of God, that all we need is the power of God and the presence of God and the miracle of God, and all these people and all these buildings are just going to celebrate, and they're all going to get excited about what's going on, and they're just going to come a-running. Instead, you find out that some folks begin to plot and plan and scheme, and it's just hard to articulate that how could God be using simple fishermen? This could not be God. Mm. And I just want to encourage you. William Seymour was so hungry for God, he didn't care.
No.
He was an African American man in 1906, and for the young people, that was not a good combo.
No.
And he was rejected by his quote spiritual father unquote. They taught him in a Bible school, but because he was African American, was it Houston?
It was a house.
Because he was African American, it was Houston, wasn't it?
I believe so.
And he had to sit outside of the house and look in the window to hear because he was African American. How many of us would go like, that ain't God.
I'm not out of here.
I ain't listening to that, you know. And the thing about this is what Jesus said. He said, listen, to people who weren't following God, but they were actually talking about the word of God, the Pharisees, he said, listen, do what they say, but don't do what they do. And a lot of people left the truth of God because an evil vessel delivered it. But you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because somebody's quoting scripture that ain't right doesn't mean the scripture's not right.
Yeah.
And so William was able to take that and go to California, where he thought he was going to pastor a church, and he gets there, and they reject him immediately, but he wanted God.
Yeah.
He wanted God. And so what he did was he rented a room. I mean, think about that today in people's mindset. Did the room have cable? Could you do your PS2, you know, your Xbox things? And so...
couldn't have been God. He didn't have his own house? I mean, no, he had to rent a room?
He only had one eye, one ability. He only could see in one eye. And so, I mean, they had a lot of things coming against him at that point. And he just wanted God. He began to fast and pray in this room and cry out to God. And next thing you know, God just began to move. He waited for the promise. He got the promise. Mm. And guess what? People begin to come to that house. I know this is crazy. that he was in a house crying out for God. John, this is going to
freak
you out.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go there.
And God showed up. So Azusa Street began. Not only in a house, in a rented room in a house.
Oh, my.
And so many people were standing on the porch of a house in 1906, which is much smaller than today's houses.
Yeah.
California houses were a bit smaller then. The porch broke in.
Yeah.
And so they had to go to some other place. And so they went and rented something that used to be like a stable slash barn. On Azusa Street. And somebody's like, what's the spiritual meaning of the word Azusa? It's like...
Azu,
USA. I don't know. And so he began to believe God for this. I mean, it began to happen. So God began to show up. When closer God gets, the more perfected things get.
Yeah.
But also, the closer God gets, the more wrong things are revealed. For example, Ananias and Sapphira. This is in the New Testament. Now, they didn't understand how close God was. And they were just so caught up in the horizontal, they thought, you know, Peter's, I know Peter. I mean, he denied Jesus. He went back to the fishing business.
We know his story. I know his testimony.
You know,
when
he was all complaining about John and stuff. What about him and stuff, you know? And Jesus got on to him about, you ain't feeding nobody. You got to feed people three times. I had to tell him, you know, that kind of stuff. And so they got thinking horizontally and didn't realize that God was with Peter. And so they're plotting in their kitchen. This is important about the presence of God, because when you say you want God, God wants you. The question is, are we willing to let go of everything for him? Because it will demand his presence, his loving presence will, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Believe me. Don't run. And so they actually, Ananias and Sapphira, go into their kitchen and they're talking over their kitchen table. You can assume they're saying, listen, we saw Barnabas, you know, he's really an encourager, and he got a lot of attention. He got like a little plate on the foyer of the fellowship that has his name on it, and everybody's talking about him and all that. We want that same kind of recognition.
Right.
This would never happen. This would never happen.
Of course not. Of course not.
I'm sorry. I'm just
only
stuck.
Okay, biblical book of Acts, early church. That's it.
And so he says, we're going to have to do the same thing Barnabas did. And they're going like, that's a lot of money. You know, it's just money. All the church loans is money, right? It's always talking about money. I'll tell you what, dude. They're good. Let's just give them half. Let's tell them we gave them all of this. Yeah. We'll sell the land. We'll give half of this money, and we'll keep the other half. That's good enough for them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't understand. You're talking to God. It wasn't about Peter. And so they plotted and planned in the New Testament. This is the New Testament. This is not OT, Old Testament. And they showed up one at a time. This is the presence and the power of God. This is why men are scared of the presence and power of God. Because they don't want to deal with the sin that's in their heart. Because if you really wanted God when he showed up, you'd be thankful. You'd be grateful. And you knew that he loves you. And that's a big thing. You have to understand that God loves you. And if you don't understand he loves you, you're thinking like, why is he showing up? Is he going to hurt me? And people that have sin in their life, they immediately go to, it becomes evident when a bright light shows up that's showing stuff. And so they, listen to this, John. So Ananias shows up a little bit earlier to give his half of his whole, you know, half of the money. And he drops it off, and he's thinking, like, do I get my nameplate? Now, where's my nameplate?
Right.
Did I get a pew named after me or a chair now, modern,
is there a robe
contemporary?
Or
I guess you could say a couch named after me now if it actually God's moving in a house. And so, you know, and so Peter asked him, is this everything? And all he had to say, John, was, no, this is half.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted the recognition. He was more concerned about the favor of man than he was the favor of God. He did not realize the presence of God was right there, that it was God he was talking to. It wasn't Peter. Not Peter wasn't God, but the Spirit of God was on Peter. So when he's talking to Peter, the presence of God. And so all of a sudden he says, that was everything. And guess what happened to him? He fell dead after Peter said, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
The Spirit of God. This is why people run from the presence of God. And it can't be. And it's like, you can't hold sin and hold God at the same time. You can't save your face and seek his face at the same time. You know, we'll talk a little bit about Tommy Tenney when we get back, but it's just going after God as a God chaser. And I want to encourage you, we're going to break. He's worth it. He's worth it. That's why we do what we do. You know, he's worth every single thing you have to give up, because whatever you give up, he'll give it back 100-fold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. This is totally, you know, the Christian, you know, Crawford just got us all excited about what's going on. And I just want to encourage you. This is when we talk about third great awakening and pouring out revival and glory zones. That's what we're talking about, is the presence and the power of God. A great awakening is about the DNA. The DNA of a culture changing.
No doubt. Yeah.
Where you just keep pushing and pushing, trying to change things in the natural. Just overnight, just the way you do business changes, the way that you do leadership changes, the way church functions changes just because God's showing up.
Especially the entire society.
Yes. Yes, totally. And I think about, you know, Tommy Tenney. He wrote a book called God Chasers.
Yes.
And just, you know, God hides himself so that we'll go after him. Somebody go, oh, this is too hard. Why is he speaking to me in visions and dreams and riddles? And you know, as Moses, he said, I talk face to face, but other men, you know, I speak in riddles. And he said, And it was very important how God speaks to someone, how we respond to that person, because he's like, I speak to him face to face, and you're treating this, yeah, this man like
the
this.
The Bible tells the glory of God to conceal a matter, the glory of kings to search it out.
Search it out. And it's relationship. It's totally relationship. And so that's why, you know, God gives this challenges in life, mm-hmm, that whole thing. So I think about Tommy Tenney. You know, Tommy Tenney, this is a story in God Chasers. You can read about it. They were at a gathering, you know, a church gathering in a building, podium, stage, seats, probably pews. And they were doing announcements or whatever, worship. But also the presence of God showed up, just the tangible presence of God. And so people began to just, this is some things that never happened. You cry. you repent.
Yes.
You go, oh, you know, this is what, you know, all kinds of things happen. So God just kind of takes over. And so everybody's having your own individual encounter with God, because God loves you individually. You count individually, and you realize how individual you are when the presence of God, this collective stuff goes away. And so, but that was going for a little ways. And you know how religion is. It's like, it's time to do the donut. It's time. Okay, this is when we need to go ahead and move on.
God's moving, but it is 10:01, and this is, yeah, it's time to do this.
Right. Yeah, the pot roast is in the oven.
Can you tell God to knock it off right now?
And so the pastor goes up. This is Tommy Tenney and God Chasers. The pastor goes up, and he's going to go ahead, and the presence of God is moving. You know, people are moving in the presence of God. They're being touched. They're weeping. They're crying. These different things are happening, and people are just it's that's, by the way, that's the most beautiful thing you'll ever experience. And that you know, and it saves. I mean, think about it. Some people have been preaching for 20 years and they hadn't got one person to respond that way. Not because your preaching is not good. It's the fact the hearts were so hard. They didn't. All of a sudden, now everybody's heart's soft because of the presence of God. And so the preacher, John, look at this. The preacher, the pastor gets up to stand behind the podium. You know, it's just, I know this is good. I know the Spirit of God is moving right now. And this song is good. But we just need to, it's time to move on. I got a good message here. We need to move on. You know, I studied all week for this thing or something. And so he stands behind the podium, and he begins to say something. And all of a sudden, the power of God just hits him, just throws him back. And he literally goes straight back.
Throws him back.
Off his feet. And he hits, like, bam, he hits the wall behind the podium. And the podium splits in two. I'm telling you, this is, you got to read the book, God Chasers. You can probably see how to get it on the bottom of your screen here, but it's Tommy Tenney, and it's just, God has this awesome idea that church is about him. You know, we come to gather, he's fellowshipping with us, two or more are gathered in his name, he's with us.
Wow.
And when his presence manifests, you know, it's just this powerful, you know, and so those kind of things can cause you to be like, you know, I don't know. And it's okay to approach God with fear and trembling. That's how we really should approach him in the context of that. And so God, when we were launching into one of our areas in VFN TV, and we met with, and we're in a boardroom, and a particular prophetic word, could be a prophetic man, you know, he spoke to us and he was sharing, and he just kind of went into this trance and began to deliver this word, you know, God is upset. This is what's going on. And that he showed me it's like a pyramid, and the pyramid has the top of a podium. And the podium, he takes the pyramid and he turns it upside down. And he shoves the pyramid in the ground and shoves the podium down in the ground. And I mean, he was just like, delivered this word, right? And we're like, oh, that was powerful. But John, right after that, God has a pastor who touched his heart, who'd been preaching from years behind this podium, come to me while I'm studying in my to my home.
Wow.
Comes and he's bringing his podium to me. He's bringing his podium.
He's bringing his podium.
And I'm like, oh man, dude, I don't want the podium. And so this is a throne with podiums. I have a good friend that's a podium. Anyway, so that he left it on the property line. He did not bring it into my property, but he left it on the property line. And he came to knock to my door and he said, listen, this is what's going on. I said, well, let me tell you. Let me tell you what God has revealed to me about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and podiums are not evil, but just in regards to before God, to say, God, we're sorry for what we preached behind these podiums. We're sorry for what we said. We're sorry for the many things that have been promulgated in America because what's been said behind pulpits and the name of God.
Mm.
and some other things the Lord showed us. And so we were able to use that moment to repent. And he said, man, he says, God's all over me. You know, God's all over me. And so he just dedicated that. He dedicated that podium to just give it to God, you know, and we just dedicated it.
Oh, we did.
Because he's like, we're not going to pray that thing. And he was more than happy to do it. We told him, you know, we're not going to keep it. So
yeah,
it was just,
sure.
It was a powerful, powerful moment. And that's what I encourage you. You know, the podium's not evil, but you got to check yourself and say, what am I saying behind this thing on behalf of God? Mm. Because the second we say things like, this is what God meant. That's a scary thing. That's a scary thing unless you really know, you know, that's what he meant. And he's able to handle those things. Yeah. I would encourage you that don't be terrified of God. I mean, have a fear of the Lord, but healthy fear, but not to be separated from God. You know what I'm saying? He wants you. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. But you know what we're going to do? We are going to let Christian Crawford be the one that closes us out in prayer today. Who better to do it? Christian.
Everybody, can I have your attention real quick? We don't know what's going on, but we will pray. We know that prayer is power and that God is able. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We pray right now that whatever is going on, that you will fix it. God, we pray that you will heal it, God. We pray that you will redeem it, God. We pray that you will deliver it, God, because we know that you are a God who knows how to make a way. And in the name of Jesus, we declare and decree in the name of Jesus that whatever is going on shall be fixed. Because you are a God who is a fixer. You are a God who is a healer. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shiloh. Fix it, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll